Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I would love to have seen the look on the disciples' faces when they heard these words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. They hadn't been following Jesus that long. Not that long ago, they were fishermen and tax collectors, listening to John the Baptist and sitting under fig trees. They were married. They were single. They were doing what folks did. Just a short time before this, these 12 could never have imagined all the changes that were going to take place in their lives in just a short time. And now this group, some friends, some brothers, some strangers before this, no doubt, were now the 12. The 12 disciples sitting with Jesus, listening to him teach. And they hear these words. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus, isn't that you? Not us? Isaiah said so. Remember what we heard at Christmas? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, for to us a child is born. Simeon said so. We heard that last week, that Jesus is the light that lightens the Gentiles. We're not really up to that. Maybe you feel the same way. Jesus first spoke these words to the 12, the first generation of Christians, but now also to you. To you who maybe haven't been a Christian that long. To you who maybe don't think you know so much. You who, if you're like me, have a hard time being salt and light in your own family. So, salt of the earth, light of the world, that's not me. But Jesus says, it is. Notice that these words are not a command. Jesus is not saying, you have to be, must be, or should be this, so get out there and get to work. No. He says, you are. This is who you are as Christians. This is what your Savior has done. This is what your Savior worked in you and made you by His grace. As Christians, baptized into Christ, recipients of His Spirit, what He is, you now are. You are sons of God. You are forgiven your sins. You are inheritors of heaven. You are His bride, His church. You are His salt and light in a rotten and dark world. That wherever you go, He be. To preserve and enlighten a world in deep darkness and rotting in death. Still sounds like a tall order, though, doesn't it? You may be thinking, I'm just an old man, or just an old woman, or I'm just a kid, or I'm just somebody who gets up before the sun comes up in the morning and gets home after it goes down, or I'm just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just... How can I be this? Well, here I think is where St. Paul can help us. For when he went to the city of Corinth, remember how he described himself, what we heard earlier? He said he came not with lofty speech or wisdom. He came in weakness and fear and much trembling. His speech and message were not with plausible or persuasive words of wisdom, or in other words, he didn't know or didn't use all the rhetorical tricks and flourishes so common to the great speakers in the city of that day. Sounds like us. Sounds like maybe the 12. Therefore, he said, I decided or I resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Which means everything Paul did, everything Paul said, everything he lived was just this: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it is all that, it means that, because as I often tell my Bible classes, and they can probably finish these sentences for me now, to know something biblically is more than just knowledge. It's more than just what's in your head. A lot more. For example, as Scripture tells us in Genesis, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. That's not just mental, right? It's more than that. A lot more. It's a union. It's a communion. It's a life. And so to adopt and adapt that biblical understanding here, we could say that to know Jesus and Him crucified is for Jesus to be conceived and born in you, and for you to be born from above in Him. It is for Jesus and Him crucified to grow in you. A life of Jesus and Him crucified, living in you. A life started in baptism, sustained by His absolution, and fed by His body and blood. You in Him and He in you. Jesus, the salt and light, making you salt and light to a dark and rotting world. And that is so because long before you and I, or Paul, or the 12, the Son of God resolved to be Jesus the Christ and Him crucified. To fulfill the law and the prophets, to accomplish that righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees for you. For we don't fulfill the law, and our righteousness, well, that doesn't even exceed an anthill, or actually even worse, it's a hole that we keep digging, a hole of sin that we've dug ourselves into, and that just keeps getting deeper and deeper with no way out, a hole that's really a grave. And that's exactly why the Son of God resolved to be Jesus the Christ and Him crucified. To go down into our graves that we've dug in sin and pull us out. To raise us with Him to a new life. A new life no longer defined by what we're not and what we lack. But a new life defined by what we are and what we have been given. That we are sons of God in the Son of God and given His life. A life that will never end. Which makes us salt in a rotten world. And light in a darkened world. And again, that's not what you have to be, must be, and should be. It's not a new law for you to fulfill and achieve. It's what you are in Christ. So be who you are. All you say, all you do, all you live, be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we go around beating people up with the Bible. Jesus didn't do that. Yes, He spoke the law. He spoke the truth. But it was always in compassion. Always to save. Always with an eye to forgiveness. The forgiveness He won in His crucifixion and now risen from the dead lives to give to you. And so now you. Let your light shine before others, Jesus said, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And remember, light doesn't shine because it has to, but because that's what light does. And so you. For Satan likes it to be dark. Yes, he does. And rotten. He loves forgiveness to go unspoken. And grudges and hurts to be held fast and fester. He loves for disagreements to turn into avoidance, to turn into loneliness and separation. He loves for our love to grow cold, and so for us to forget about one another. And focus only on ourselves. Every man for himself. Live and let live. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified is salt on that satanic slug. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the light that scatters His demonic cockroaches. Jesus Christ and Him crucified in you is that light that shines before others and produces those good works, those Christ works, those forgiveness works, those compassion works, those mercy works that glorify your Father who is in heaven. For Jesus Christ and Him crucified is a light that shows us what love really is and what life was meant to be. A union and communion with God. A union and communion with each other. And so you are who you are because Jesus is who He is. All gift. And when you succumb, to the temptation to not be who you are, to sin, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is here still to raise and restore you in the forgiveness of your sins, to salt you with His Spirit, to enlighten you with His Word, and to strengthen you with His body and blood. For in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you are, as we sang, the church of God, elect and glorious. The church of God with hope and a future. The church of God in this world, but not of this world. The church of God wherever Jesus scatters you to be His living, breathing gospel in this rotten and dark world. To be His gift to others, to be His salt, to be His light, to bring hope and love, to speak forgiveness and show mercy. To be who you are, a child of God. And to live the life you've been given, a life that's never going to end. And you know what? Like those 12, you just might be surprised at what a difference that makes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.